Sei.
I have one comment from today's message. Mark started out saying that the abomination of desolation has three, there's the natural, the spiritual, and the fullness of the spirit. And we talked about this man of sin has not yet been revealed. And I think we need to go straight to the fullness of the spirit on this one. And here's why. The fact that the man of sin has not been revealed, we could be sitting here waiting to see who this is so that we won't follow him. But if we go straight to the fullness of the spirit, this man of sin is Satan. And so instead of waiting to see who this man is so we won't follow him, we need to be thinking about, we know who the final one is, and we need to know that so we won't be following him right now in our own lives. So the important thing is knowing all this that's going to happen. Satan is the one behind all of it. I don't care who he manifests himself in the end here in this man of sin. I want to be thinking about right now. I already know who the third dimension is, and I want to make sure that I'm not going to be following him. And so right now, here and now, right where we live every day, that's what we need to be thinking about is I don't want to let that spiritual entity have any place in my life.
Amen.
Yes, amen. Well, this is a big topic, and it's open to a lot of speculation, and we've defined a lot of things that are an abomination. Do we know any more specifically what is this abomination of desolation that will bring the final desolation? And to find it in the holy place.
It seems like to me from that last scripture you read, when it said those that are highly esteemed by man, it almost seems like this abomination is just simply man taking the place of God, which has been a progression in history that's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. I kind of think that's what it is.
And the spirit of pride and self-exaltation.
Mark,
Yeah, go ahead, Larry.
going back to Proverbs 6, where it talks about seven sins of the wicked, it says that six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. And do you read that as, I know sin is sin and they're all bad, but do you read it that the seventh is the abomination, because that one, the seventh one, is he who sows discord among the brethren? Is there a deviation there between that and the others? In other words, does God look at the seventh as the abomination and being worse than the others?
That wasn't my thinking, Larry, but it could be. I mean, if you, I'm not an expert in the language there, But what I was thinking is he's using hate and abomination interchangeably and saying, well, there are six. Oh, wait a minute. There's seven of them, actually. He didn't say the seventh is. He said, yea, seven. Not just six. I'll add another one to it. Seven.
Okay. All right. I always thought that that was worse than the others. But again.
Yeah, I thought it was one of the part of the seven, though. Mm-hmm. He happened to think of a seventh one.
All right.
But it's pretty bad.
Yeah, I mean,
anything that God hates is pretty bad.
Yeah, I always felt like God was signaling that out because, you know, he really detested someone who brought strife, and you know, into the body of Christ and did destruction to the body, you know, but I don't know.
Well, people have done it.
Yeah, I know. Not good.
You know, it's a fine line, Larry, between sowing discord and bringing correction. You know, there's people that believe they've been ordained to bring correction.
Mm.
And that not necessarily so. It's just like people that believe they've been ordained to be the prophet, and they haven't been.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, one thing that comes to me on that, Larry, is obviously it seems like there are some sins that are lesser than other sins. You know, I mean, like maybe uttering a cuss word or something is not as bad as murdering people or whatever. So I can see that side of it where it builds up, and when the seventh, you know, which is perfection or completion, is accomplished, it becomes bad enough that God calls it an abomination. But the other thing that came to my mind is when we think of sin, we think of sins like, you know, whatever you want to call a sin, cussing, smoking, adultery. We think of sins, but that's not the definition of sin. The definition of sin is disobedience to God. So any disobedience to God, lesser or greater, I'm not sure if it makes too much of a difference to God, because the fact that sin is disobedience to him, any disobedience to him is bad. You know what I mean? So I can kind of see both sides of that coin there. And so what we really need to be concerned about is not the degree of the sin as much as just the fact that, are we disobeying God? Because it could be just in some simple little way, and to God it's maybe as bad as the worst one. I don't know.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to know the body's opinion on that. And I didn't want to continue teaching something that wasn't correct in my way of seeing it. So,
brethren, is there in the holy place the abomination that will make desolate? Is there now?
I think it's well
in our time.
Way. I think
in our generation,
it's well on the way right now, as far as I can see.
All right. And if we agree that it is there, then we have to follow the rest of the instructions. And when you see the abomination, then these are the steps that you need to be taking. Amen. I don't feel that we really did justice to Daniel. If it would be all right, I'd like to do more on Daniel's on that 11th or ninth chapter there of Daniel. Because I think it also speaks into today. Maybe next time we get a chance. So if God gives you, brethren, something to share, you have the liberty, of course, to do so. Well, then apparently we've come to a conclusion for today. Sonia, good to see you with us again today.
Yeah, good to see you. Yeah, I missed a few meetings because I was face-to-face to church, but not today. So I'm happy I could join you.
Oh, that's good. You've got a good church there, a good fellowship of believers. Well, I guess we can say goodbye.
There's one little comment, Brother Mike.
Okay, brother.
Just to agree with you that all the, you know, you were speaking about the abomination that make it desolate, rising up where it ought not to be. And the holy place is the place where you have the the Holy Spirit walking, the lampstand, table of shewbread, and the altar of incense. And where we have been walking, we could say the holy place church. And all the things that we have read as it concerns the abomination are things that are happening in the holy place. All the things that have been mentioned are happening in the holy place in one form or the other. And you know, I'm asking the Lord to help us for the technicality, the wisdom, to be able to do the things that we should do when we see the abomination. So I believe that the abomination is visible. It's not hidden, it's visible, except that we are not making the response that we should make. I'm not making it like I should make it. So I'm asking the Lord to help us to begin to make the response. You know, our brother Mike mentioned was so interesting that at the end of the story is that the devil is the final antichrist. So he's already there manifesting. So may God give us the strength to begin to run. And maybe if we can look at those things, those are in the housetop, don't come down. You are in Judea, don't come into the city. You forgot your camera, go back and take it, and all those things. And God will help us to begin to put those things in perspective in the days to come. Because surely the abomination that make it desolate is standing where it ought not to presently. Praise the Lord.
You know,
just to comment on that real quick, Brother Edie mentioned that these abominations are occurring in the holy place. We know if we bump the natural holy place into the spirit, Mark already said that's our soul. Our soul is our holy place. So these abominations in the spirit are occurring in our souls. And so what are we to do? We need to not give the devil a place. When he brings those things to our soul, we need to not even give him any place. You know, just cut the thought off right there. Don't participate in them. Don't let him even tempt your mind. You know, just completely shut the door on him. Because last week we talked a little bit how when Christ shed his blood, the spiritual power that was in Christ's blood, he shed into the atmosphere, and now it's available to us. And we get it through absorption, through loving the Lord, reading about the Lord, following the Lord, obeying the Lord. That's what Satan is after. He wants to pull that strength and energy and power out of us, because that's the only thing that keeps him alive now that he's been cut off from spiritual food. So that's how we're going to actually do him in, is by not allowing him to suck that energy and that strength and that spirit of God out of us. So this end time people that's being formed right now, we're going to cut Satan off from his food source, which is what is going to do him in the end. So that's what we need to be doing right now, is don't give him any place in your life, no way, no how. And Jesus said, resist the devil and he will flee from you.
Amen.
Amen. And let me just finish by saying the interpretation of that phrase and the interpretation of what Daniel said in the 9th chapter is very crucial to having your end time doctrine straight. The churches have got this, both of these wrong, because in Matthew they are putting this as a natural temple, and since there is no natural temple in Jerusalem, they're saying that Jesus can't come until there's a natural temple, so that the devil can come and pollute the temple with his presence and make his throne there. Well, brethren, this is God destroyed that temple, and he's not going to bring it back just so that the devil can have a throne in this stone building. All right. And the same thing in the book of Daniel, and we'll get to that another time, is who will confirm the covenant? And again, it's a properly written English text that should be properly interpreted and understood. It's not the people of the prince. It's the Messiah that's being talked about in the verse that we read. So again, they want to make another temple to be built, and they're going to send all kinds of money to help them build this thing. And I'm not against supporting Israel, and I'm not in favor of supporting all of Palestine and the wicked things that they've done necessarily, but let's understand that temple has been destroyed. It's now a spiritual temple that he's talking about.
In Daniel, he speaks of the abomination of destruction in the holy place. The holy place is in you. And okay, the abominations that are coming, that we're seeing happening, is part of it, I think, is accepting what the gay rights thing is doing, and everything else that's going on in the church, how we're having ministers that are gay and that are lesbian, and the world is accepting them. And that acceptance of not only the world, but the Christian people, that's the holy place, that they're accepting it into their hearts, that's right. And that's an abomination.
Yeah, and, they're using the argument, well, we need to love. We need to love all. We need, Jesus ministered among the sinners, the prostitutes and the publicans and and sinners and what have you. Yes, we need to love the sinner, and we need to welcome the sinner, but he needs to repent. And this is exactly what Jesus told the woman that was accused: go and sin no more. In other words, you need to repent. We're not going to destroy you, but you still need to repent. And now the Pope even got involved in this thing. How many of you are aware of that? The Pope made an announcement now that the priests can bless the same-sex unions. Now, I don't know what he means by bless. He won't allow them to perform the marriage ceremony of them. But what does it mean to bless, to bless their sin?
Accept it.
Yeah, accept it. And of course, the other churches are blessing the same thing in the same manner.
Well, that's just a short step until they will accept it as marriage and marry them. That's just the next step in it.
Yeah, now we can accept people that have that are struggling with that problem. They want deliverance. they want to be free of it. In the same manner, we accept a man who has been an alcoholic. He's struggling. He's crying out to God to deliver him. He has a place. God keeps forgiving him, and other sins are besetting sins, okay? But we're saved from our sins, brethren. And even though some of the tendencies of these sins want to hold on to us as we come into the process of maturity, I understand.
We are to love the sinner, not the sin.
We're not going to bless his sin, though. Amen. We're not going to marry his sin. He shouldn't be marrying his sin to some other sin.
Amen.
I always wondered how a Christian could say that abortion is okay, that same-sex marriage is okay, that all these abominations are okay. And with my daughter-in-law, we had a discussion, and she didn't want to talk to me because I gave her scripture about man marrying man, woman marrying woman. And she goes, "Well, you're judging." And I said, We hate the sin and we love the sinner. Duh, don't tell me that stuff. But anyway, that's the way people are now. They don't even want to hear what you have to say or what the Bible says either.
You become a hater to them.
Yeah, and to read these passages in scripture now is becoming hate speech. They're making laws that if you are involved in hate speech, you're breaking some law. Well, Jesus said you shall be hated. And in that passage in Matthew 24, there's going to be a lot of tribulation to people that stand for righteousness. All right, I'll turn this recording off. Apparently, we've said what we're going to say.